Call your attention tonight to the Second Corinthian letter, chapter 4, and verses 1 through 6. Hear now the word of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. For we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whom the God of this age has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And this is the word of God for the people of God. And thanks be to God. Out of the French Revolution comes an interesting story of a lawless mob who broke into the king's palace looking wildly for valuable jewels and other items of worth. They rushed down a long corridor and began stomping furiously into the room that stood at the end of the corridor. And suddenly, the looters grew quiet. The yelling and the curses ceased. More astonishing still, some of them knelt on the floor while others removed their hats. You ask, what caused such a change in a howling mob? But it happened that on the wall there was a painting of Jesus Christ, which they had unexpectedly confronted. Hanging on the opposite wall of the room, a painting of Jesus. And their cursing ceased. And some knelt. Others removed their hats. Unfortunately, the story does not end there. One of the leaders of the mob stepped forward, turned the picture of Christ toward the wall, and shouted for the mob to continue their plundering. In some ways, this seems to me to be a parable of much of our world today. We've either forgotten Jesus, or we have turned his face to the wall and refused to look at it. If we look at him, our sins will be shown to us for what they are. Rebuked, and we will see how we have oftentimes messed up our lives. In the face of Jesus Christ, there is the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Refuse that light, and we walk in darkness to our doom. Surrender to him and we find our healing and hope and salvation. During these Sundays of Lent, we've been looking at various aspects of the face of Jesus. We've seen its sternness, its steadfastness, the splendor of the shining face, its obedience. And last week, we looked at the despised face. Oh, it still hurts me to think about it. They did spit in his face and slap him. But tonight we come to see the face supreme, the divine face. Listen once more as Paul says, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There's a twofold picture in Paul's mind here. First, God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. And here it seems to be a reference back to God's mighty act of creation as recorded in Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Where we read, the earth was without form and darkness was upon the face of the deep and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. This was an act of God that brought creation out of chaos. But equally as important to Paul in the chaotic darkness of his own life, where no light had shone, came the light of God in the face of Jesus. Paul's life had been without vital purpose and meaning. There was no light by which he could understand himself or solve the problems of an uneasy conscience. Then on the road to Damascus, the light shone. You know the story. Paul was on the road to Damascus to bring Christians, believers, people of the way, to trial and persecution, imprisonment, even death. But on that road, the light of God broke fresh upon his heart and changed forever. He evidently thought of it as a visible brightness in which he saw the face of Christ. But it was more than just an external light. It was a light that filled his whole life and was a spiritual presence and power. So here Paul is saying, the light of God has shone in the beginning at creation, and the same light has shone to bring a new creation. God's eternal light has shone in our hearts. This experience meant for Paul that his sins were forgiven and he was given a new beginning with power for living. He didn't use the phrase, but it was almost as if he had been born again. And so he wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And all of this was God's doing. There was nothing in it of Paul's own merit or effort, but the light of the eternal life shining in Paul's heart. God had taken the initiative to bring new life to Paul. The full force of this may be missed by many of us because we've never been conscious of any radical, revolutionary change or break with the past in our lives. We've never had an experience, anything like Paul had. There have been times in my life when I considered it and thought, I wish I'd had a dynamic conversion like Paul had. I wish I had a conversion experience like I've heard people testify to in their lives when they came to know Jesus for the first time and their lives were transformed and remade. But you know, I've come to appreciate more than ever, I don't remember a time in my life when I didn't know Jesus. And though I've lived far from a perfect life, He has kept me and guided me and called me and empowered me to do His work in His way, in His world. Or we'd like sometimes to have that certain, sudden climactic experience. But consider, if you will, in the northern latitudes, the dawn is slow and gradual in coming up. While at the equator, as Kipling said, it comes up like thunder, but it's the same dawn. And so it is with the coming of God's light into our heart. It's an action of God, and it's effective, creative. A new thing has happened. The soul has been born. It doesn't matter if it happens gradually or if it happens suddenly. The important thing is that God works to bring you life. Praise be to God. I was in a prayer meeting with preachers at a conference years ago, and a good friend of mine was leading it. And he turned to me and asked me to tell of my conversion experience. And I had to say, I've never had an experience that I remember of coming to faith in Christ. But at the same time, I have absolutely no memory of my first birth. But I'm here. And I know that I was born. And I have no memory of a second birth, faith in Christ. But I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Thanks be to God. God has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. This comes to us that we might share it with others. In verse 5, Paul says, "We preach Christ as Lord and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake." Paul's purpose, Paul's new reason for being was to be the servant of others by sharing the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ with everyone that he could. And he was not disobedient, as he said, to the heavenly vision that he had, but gave his life to share the glory of the knowledge of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And you and I are called to share this light. Share the light of the glory of God with others. We are never to be only beneficiaries of God's amazing love and grace, but we also to be bearers of this grace to others. You've heard it said many times, I'm sure. I forget the man's name that came up with it. He was an Indian evangelist. He said, an evangelism is only the simple task of a person who's found bread telling others where bread might be found. And if we were in a state of famine and bread was scarce and people were starving and you found an abundant supply, surely you would go and tell others where bread might be found. And you and I have seen God's amazing love and grace at work in our lives. And we not just accept that and rejoice in that, but we're to share it. We're to bear the good news to others. As Jesus was the light of the world, He says to us now, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. Is the light of God in the face of Jesus Christ shining through you? I know that I have seen the glory, the light of Jesus in the lives and on the faces of some of His saints. Humble people, all of them. But people who walk so closely with God, that there was a radiance about them and a beauty and the holiness about their lives. There is no higher honor than any one of us could ever achieve than to be a reflector of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Let the light shine. Turn to the Son, Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face and you'll see the light of the knowledge of the glory of God shining into your darkness to make order out of the chaos of your life. It will be as if you had been born again as you experience God's forgiveness and enter into newness of life with Him. Then His light will shine through you and you'll bear His light to those around you. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That divine face can be, should be, will be reflected through you. We come to worship to receive the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. We enter into new lives. We become bearers of that light to others. Which is more important? To receive the light or to bear the light to others? Someone said it's sort of like breathing. Which is more important, breathing in or breathing out? Both are essential. And if we receive the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, we must bear that light to others. So go to shine into others' darkness, so they too may see the light of the divine face. O thou whose light has shone into our lives and brought to us life, joy, purpose, meaning, hope, assurance of eternal life. May we be faithful in sharing the wonder of the light of Christ to others. May we truly, truly let our light shine. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.